Jesus fasted for 40 days. Afterward, he was hungry. Say, he was hungry. He fasted for 40 days, and afterward, he was hungry. This wasn't part of the message, but let me just get this in here. I'm about to share something with you pretty deep, so I want you to be aware of where I'm going. Brace yourself. Afterwards, the enemy came with his temptations. You ready? Satan doesn't have anything new in his approaches. Does it? So he'll always look for an opportunity where you either lack or feel you lack something to then introduce something else. He looks for a door of opportunity where he feels that you feel deprived or in lack or a strong desire of something to try to introduce the next thing. Jesus was hungry. He wanted food. He wasn't asking for the kingdoms of the world or to be able to prove God's power, if it's real or not, if he cast himself off a mountain or anything else that the enemy tried to throw. But the enemy said, you're hungry, your flesh is feeling some kind of way, can I play off of that? So at the time of a disappointment or an inconvenience, when you're just not feeling your best, you've done something, you said something, something was said to you, something didn't go the way you wanted, all of a sudden you're feeling this place of something is missing or lacking or something is desired. You're feeling without something. And then the enemy tries to move in off of that emotion and throw every other emotion at you. Yeah. Well, if God is good, why are you hungry? Turn these stones into bread. Yeah. Well, that didn't work. Okay, so then you do still believe God. Okay, so then jump off this mountain then and see if you don't dash your foot against the stone. Oh, that didn't work either? What if I give you everything you believe in God for without you going to God? Oh, you don't want to pay attention to this? You don't want to hear this? This ain't happened to y'all? The devil always going to introduce the shortcut when you don't fall for the first two. He's going to always give you the way to seek to promote yourself. He's always going to give you the way to exhort yourself, but he's going to look to see if he finds something lacking in you already, and then he'll begin to build on that. So all the emotional stuff that tried to come at me yesterday, even down to the birds pooping all over the car roof, all of that was like, I'm just trying to find anything. Because he doesn't know. I keep telling you, Satan is not wise. He goes off of the way you responded last time, and he takes a calculated guess. He knows your cycles, and he works with them. So if you keep getting attacked with the same thing, it's because you ain't changed the hand you've been dealt. You're still using it. So Satan knows it, and he'll throw something just when you feel like you're in lack or expressing a lack or complaining about the lack of something. He would then introduce something else. Or guide it in order to design to get you to question, has God really said? Has God really said you're saved? How do you know you're saved? Well, what you just thought right now don't sound so saved to me. Well, how come you just did that again? So, this fits in perfect with the message that we left up on and picking up on, because I've learned in my walk and still learning that when I'm standing, I'm challenged. When I'm standing, I'm challenged. When I'm standing, I'm challenged. Who can guess what today's title is? Challenged while standing. When I'm standing, I pose a threat. Let's take an image right here. We can use sports. So let's grab something from Kwame's world. I'm going to grab a few people's world so everybody fits in. If you're in the ring, the box, and you're sitting in the corner, the bell rings, you come out, your opponent does not. Are you challenged? You hit him and he's on his behind, he don't get up after 9. Are you challenged? If he gets up, even if he gets up groggy, are you challenged? Yeah, you are. Because there's a chance now he may come back with something else and you got to fight. It's going to our actor's world. You go to a place to audition for something and nobody's there but you. Are you challenged? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, you still got to stand in front of these people, but you don't feel the sense of no competition. Especially if you walk in the room and you realize you're the only one there by design. Oh, Dan, oh. And just when you're feeling good, 15 more people walk in the room. Now you're challenged. Now you're challenged. All that just goes. There are 5,000 more that have not bowed their knee to Baal. Okay. Whenever you're called, you're challenged. And here's why I make that statement. You're challenged because you're standing there. You're challenged because you're standing in the middle of the ring with the gloves on. That's why you're challenged. Because whether he gets out the corner or does not get out the corner, whether it's 15 people in the room or not in the room, if you're not there, there's no challenge to you because you're not in the competition. So if you're not in the competition, you're not challenged. So in order to be challenged, you have to be in the fight. Oh, no, come on. You better hear what I'm saying to you right now. In other words, you got to put your chips in the game to fear losing. You can sit home and watch poker on TV all day. That's not a threat. When you put your money down on the table and trading it for chips, now it's real. When God calls us to stand for him, the scripture clearly says we have an adversary. Will somebody please give me the definition of an adversary? Yes, Mike. Opponent or enemy? Come on. What? Someone's coming against you. Someone coming against you, yes. A dispute. Conflict. All these are right. It's a challenge. Basically, here's what it is in a nutshell. Somebody say the word opposition. That's what a challenge is. Put all the fancy words together, it's opposition. If somebody is there to oppose you from achieving that which you sought out to achieve. Right. Satan is an adversary. Didn't say he's a conqueror. Didn't say he's a winner. He didn't say he's the one to defeat you. But it did say he's an opposer. If you don't like being opposed, take your chips and go home. Get out the game. This ain't for you. This is grown folks' conversation. If you come, come to play. And understand you will be opposed. Now, before I go further, let's take a minute and think about something that you may have stood for maybe more than once in your life and got opposed and backed down or relaxed your hold and walked away for a season. I ain't going to ask you to tell me. I just want you to think about it. Think about that thing that you stepped out to maybe once, maybe more than once, and got opposed. How many of you can think of something? Let me see your hand. I ain't going to ask you to tell me, but let me see your hand. You got opposed. Messed up your day. Maybe even your week. If you're like me, messed up a few of your minutes. It got to be a real hard opposition for me to fold. I'm that dude. I'm just saying that. You know, I remember when I used to fold, pack it, put it in the suitcase, and go running. But now, no, you're going to have to take a brother out. Opposition comes from the enemy's position to keep you from achieving, to dishearten you, to discourage you, to break you. Opposition comes from God's perspective, meaning allowing the opposition to strengthen you. People don't like saying opposition designed by God. So you're saying God's in charge of suffering? No, suffering is only for punks who ain't willing to meet the challenge. If you get in the ring to box, you plan to have punches thrown at you. That's the game. You don't come in the ring and say, I'm just going to just knock you out, and you just stand there, and I'm going to win, and that's just the way it is. No, you expect, as they say, your mettle to be tested. You expect somebody to give you pushback. Have you ever had a trainer? Have you paid that trainer? Did you expect that trainer then to earn his money? Now, if you're just working out with somebody, you may goof off and then you don't say nothing. But if I'm paying you for this session, I want to make sure you're listening to me. You ready? If I'm paying for this session, I'm expecting you to be a little mean to me. That's okay. You don't feel like lifting it? That's okay, baby. Give me 10 sit-ups. Oh, you don't want to do 10? Don't worry about it. Do what you want. Whatever makes you happy. You going to keep paying him? Her? No. I expect you to demand something of me that I will not demand of myself. I expect you to push me to the place that I believe I can be pushed, but my flesh may not be willing to be pushed. Give me something that makes me fight for that extra mile. Yet you pray to God for great things. In the moment that opposition comes and you are demanded to push for the extra mile, you want to go home and eat Cheetos. I'm not getting a lot of love on this message. I expect God to give me the opportunity to be better than what I am. So say this, Lord, train me. You know what I need. I hope you meant what you just said. I am past the days of trying to tell God how to perfect me. James chapter 1, where we left off. The season of growth, natural growth that just happens from a child to an adult. Went to the back and Ruo was sitting there with daddy. And I looked at her face and I said, wow, her face is already developing personality. You can see a look, you know, before she had that baby look. You know, does she look like daddy? Does she look like mommy? A little bit above? Yeah, I can see the eyes. No. But then they start to get that look where they start to get their own definition of who they are. And already this little, you already see person. I already see, yeah, you're going to have a lot to say. You're going to be mouthy like mama. You're going to be strong-willed. You can already see that she look at you like, what? Don't come over here. I ain't called you. Already you see it. Developing. How old is she now? 9 months. And already you see personality, determination, strong will. I don't want it that way. But then you make the decision to be trained. Yeah. I have a strong opinion about things. But then you make a decision to be trained. You know how many people come to church and join the church in the beginning before you know me? And think you're going to teach me how to teach you? And it takes a while, sometimes years, to figure out that that's not going to happen. I'm going to teach the way I teach. Some people never learn. Some leave. Here's the point. When you submit to be trained, your will, your personality, and your attitude has to take a back seat to the trainer. Amen. Then why do we think through prayer and supplication and fasting and crying that we can change God's method of training? You know we think that. Well, you know, if you get a group of people, well, you know, you just write it down and you just got to stand. Okay, I stand for his direction. And then I follow it. I don't stand to get him to let me direct him. Ooh, I'm getting some cold looks right up in here. I'm still telling the truth. Am I telling the truth? So I begin to talk to God. I said, God, you know, I don't believe in suffering comes from you. I don't believe that. And nobody's ever going to make me teach that, preach that, or believe that. I don't believe that. But I am aware that there are situations in which I need to grow. And as a result of needing to grow, I need to be challenged. So I talked about natural growth. Talked about Ruel. She's a baby. You saw her when she's a little infant. Now she's up. She's making noise. She's clapping. She's trying to talk, express herself the way she can. Watch children do it all along. It's a beautiful thing to watch. She has nothing to do with her cycle of growth at this point. She's a baby, and nature's taking its place. But then there comes the part that you're a participant in, even willing or unwilling. When she get old enough where mama start to say, I said no, pow! No. Now she has to contemplate in her little mind. So now I'm being limited now. I cried, that got me thrown in the crib. This behavior is not met with love and kisses. And I've tried all my little schemes to get around it. Because they figured that out real young. Screamed, cried, pouted, all of it. Still didn't earn me that thing. So then he start plotting, I believe it from children. I'm going to get old enough to be able to do that. And you're not going to be able to tell me no. I don't know when it's going to be, but it's going to come a day You ain't going to be around, whatever the case may going to be. Oh, I'm speaking something you don't know about. You already know, have that thing inside of you growing up. Like, mama said, I can't do it. But soon as she turned her head, it's on. Soon as she leave the room, it's going down. So you get to the place that now you start to become accountable for your growth. Now you get old enough to decide if you want school or don't want school. You want to learn, you don't want to learn. And you grow up and become fully independent and in charge of your own destiny. And God takes you right back to that stage where he says, I will say yes and I will say no. And you can't sneak behind my back and do it because I seize you. Now, you can still do it, but the outcome is going to be that there's going to be reparations. Some past due that's going to catch up to you. You don't have this conversation? So then you learn one of two things from this process, children of God. You learn not to do it because you're afraid of God's wrath. Or you mature enough to love your father enough and know that his will is right and good. And so you surrender to it because you know it's right and good. He means well for you. And it's not a problem for you to say yes to it. But that, my children, is the ongoing struggle. Do I say yes because I fear repercussion? Or do I say yes because I love you so much that I just want to do what's right for you? So I made a decision. And I was talking to God this week. And I said, this one thing is important to me in this season of my life. That I say yes to your yes and no to your no. And nothing else is important. You didn't take that strong enough. You didn't receive that strong enough. One thing is important to me at this season of my life. That I say yes to your yes and no to your no. No questions asked. Does anybody receive that? That's the most important thing to me in life right now. Because I've tried it so many other ways that have half worked and then slipped away or not worked at all. And I've come to the realization that when I do exactly what he says, the way he says to do it, I always win. And here's why I can say that. Because the scripture says, the blessings of the Lord makes one truly rich and he adds no sorrows to them. And I begin to look at the things that even begin to make me rich, but then they added sorrows, and I begin to question if it was God or not. So I say yes to your yes and no to your no without question anymore. Where we started last week, and then we'll go a little further. I talked a little longer than I wanted to, but let's establish this. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials or opposition or an opponent that seeks in your mind to destroy you, but God will use to strengthen you. When I say destroy you, I don't mean your life. I mean your stand. What I'm talking about today is to believe or not to believe. That is the question. Consider it pure joy. I never understood that, like I explained last week, until God showed me it for this message. It's pure joy that I am considered by God worthy to be an opponent. I consider it pure joy that God decided to make me one of the top five players on his team. He's given me the ball and he's putting me on the court. I consider it pure joy. He didn't put me there to lose. He didn't put me there to be crippled. He didn't put me there to die of sickness. He put me there to overcome and win the championship. He picked me. He picked somebody else in this room other than me. I don't know who. I'll let you decide if it's you. To be on that team. And to win. And to play. And to foul sometime. And get fouled. And get tripped. And trip somebody. He put me on the team because enough experience let him know that I was capable of taking him to a championship. So I'll take the opposition. Well, you know, the trials of your faith, you know, I don't know, that's kind of hard. It's not hard if you train to win. It's not hard if you let the trainer train you. It's not hard if you follow the coach's instruction and stop trying to instruct him. I'm a hard person to coach. Because I know too much about too many things. So when people talk to me, I have this well of information and knowledge that if they say anything that is poo-poo, now everything they say is under investigation. And you understand what I'm saying? From that point, anything else you got to say is under the microscope of scrutiny because I don't try to come and throw scripture at me because you're going to get smashed if you're not straight on. Because I'm going to tell you, not only do I know the scripture, I know the context, I know the subtext, I know the pretext. And I probably know it in Hebrew. Don't come at me just trying to quote a line. Because you can get your feelings hurt. And now everything you say from that point is scrutinized. And God has to say to me from time to time, I need you to surrender to the coaching of this one. Don't look at the flaws. Look at the victory you're there to get. Don't judge every detail and dot every I, cross every T. Just read the sentence. If there's a spell error, ignore it. You know what it was supposed to say. Read the rest of it. We don't want to have this conversation? So I realize that I have to intentionally, are you listening to me? Be trained. When I worked with my trainers, I asked a bunch of questions and I learned a lot of things about the do's and do nots. So if I'm working out with somebody else and they're trying to give me something to do, I'm like, I ain't doing that. Kwame, and I have that issue all the time. Kwame tries to train me, and I'm like, okay, this thing you're telling me to do that, I know it's not safe for me. It's not safe for my body. I'm not doing it. Nah, I set this up here. Well, you do it, because I'm not doing it. I give you an example. We were training one time, and he went and bought the big thing that sits this high up off the floor. And he wanted me to jump up and down on that thing on my 60-year-old something knees that ain't been to the gym in months. I said, you do that. Now, that's how I train my guys. But I didn't ask you to train me. I'm working out with you. So we working out together. You're not my trainer. I'm not saying he don't know how to train. I ain't commissioned you to train me. No, you got to understand what I'm saying right here. This ain't a put down on him. We working out together. I ain't asked you to be my trainer. You confusing me with your other peoples. I'm here. We working out together. I'm going to show you some stuff. You're going to show me some stuff. Okay. Because I have to say, I've looked at what you do, and I've, by either God's wisdom or my own, decided that you have something that I need. And if I decide you have something I need, I count it all joy. I take it pure joy, however you choose to deliver it. I'm going to say that again. You're going to catch that. However you choose to deliver that package to me, I count it pure joy. If I stood up here right now and said, I have $100,000 for everybody to do exactly what I say, you will all in your mind immediately decide there are things I'm willing to do and there are things I'm not willing to do for that amount of money. There's some people like, we'll do whatever you say. We'll kill somebody for that amount of money. But there are other people that are going to say, well, that ain't the magic number. Can they say everybody got a price? That ain't the magic number. 200,000. Not to do that. 1 million. I don't think so. I see it's hard to change because you, I'm not saying that about money. I'm trying to say you decide what you decide to accept. What's worth it to you to achieve. So anything at that point, once your number is reached, has a lot less sting. Did I lose you? Once I give you the number or the promise that you're looking for, you decide what's uncomfortable and to what degree, and you can take it a lot better when your number is reached. We don't like to have these conversations, but it's the truth. We all know what we want, and we know how far we're willing to go to get it. How much do you want from God, and how far are you willing to go to get it? Okay, let's bring this home now. Lord, I didn't plan to stay this long, but I'm with you on this. See, to count it pure joy when you decide to be a part of the team or part of this trial. Now, this is the point I want to get across. I want to keep reading, but I want to make sure I establish this. Are you listening? Reading the rest of it makes no difference if I don't establish this. When you read this scripture, count it pure joy then when you fall into divers trials and temptations, oppositions, pressures. I'm assuming at this point that everybody's signing on to be a part of the team. Who's part of this? God, whatever it takes, I want this. Whatever it takes, I want this. Okay, I want to make sure that we've decided together as a team that we will win this championship. We're taking whatever we need to take, whatever opposition, whoever you put in the ring against me, I believe and trust that you've trained me sufficiently to knock out anybody that the enemy could bring from his camp. This has to be a choice. If you're a punk, log off right now. Just shut down your Zoom. And this is for you. But if you're here to do this, I'm here to offer something. Because this is offering, no, hear close to what I'm saying. This is offering a huge return. And we can't sleep on this return. See, because if you remember from last week, he said that you will be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So he's giving you the steps right here to be perfect. How many of you like that? Entire and lack nothing. Well, this is it. So we're all in the gym together, right? And we all decided that what the trainer's got to say, we want to hear no matter how schooled we think we are, right? So now I'm in the gym with Kwame. I'm letting him train me. I'm not saying nothing. Whatever you say, do it. Tell me to jump, get on the roof and swing and jump down and try to fall on the trampoline. I'm submitted to that now. Because God is assured me that he's guiding him. So he ain't going to let him do any stupid stuff to me. I trust God. No, what are you talking about, Pastor? Because some of you are smiling. Well, how is it that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to bow to your God. And if you got to throw us in the fire, so be it. But we believe our God can deliver us, even if he don't. That's a submission to your trainer that goes to another level. We can die. We ain't talking about something to kill you. We just talking about some obedience right now. So if they could say that in the face of death, can we say that at least in the face of opportunity? So we ain't talking about life and death right now. He's talking about various trials to test your faith. Right? This is what he's saying. Trials and opposition, discouragement, disappointments that try to break you. Count it pure joy. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you for taking the time to individually train me. Thank you for being there to build me up and get, and you know what kind of proteins I need to eat and what I need to cut from my diet, and you know how many miles is too many, and you know how to check my heart to make sure the rate is good. You got all that covered. You made me. So whatever opposition comes against me, I don't know if you're listening to me right now, I'm going to conclude that either I'm trained for it, or you just put me here just enough to know what to go back and adjust. But it won't destroy me. Yes. Amen. Amen. See, or temptation, he provides the way of escape. Yes. So we already know with any trial, test, temptation, there is a door out. Well, I'm going to choose to not run out. Unless he tells me, go sit down, we're good for the day. I'm going to go through the training. Okay, because we know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. We know that the more you jog, the more you'll be able to jog. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? We know the more you lift, the more you'll be able to lift. We know the more push-ups you do, the more you'll be able to do. We know that the more you train, you gain perseverance. This is what he's saying right here. Because we know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, stamina, longevity. But let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So as I left off last week, I said, it says the point clearly. Let perseverance finish its job. Let patience finish. No, I don't want to go forward without saying this again. Let patience finish. Somebody say it. Tell me what you think that means. I want to go on, but I want to just kind of get some insight. Tell me what you think that means. Let patience, let perseverance finish its work. What does that mean? Anybody? Don't yell out. Stick a hand up. Yes, Ruth. Don't buckle under the pressure. I like that. Rhonda? Don't abandon the process. I like that. That's good. What else we got? Sherry? Waiting for something to happen? I don't know if that answered the question for me at all. Yeah, I don't want to just wait for something to happen. I want to be specifically involved in a process, okay. Right? So if you say waiting for something that you're believing for to happen, I would take that. Yes. Kwame? Don't rush. Don't rush. All of that's correct. But now, take all of what you... Go ahead, Mike. You got to remember, I got to repeat back what you're saying for people to hear it. You're doing a whole dissertation now. Give me. Let it get to the point that you're not bothered anymore, but with the process. Right? Am I quoting you right? I alluded to this last week, and I made the point. So here's what it comes to. Nothing you said is wrong, but it's one element missing. Let patience finish his work. I've been giving it to you all through the message. Patience is your trainer. Let him train you the way he wants to or her. Let it finish the work and then you'll be perfect. I tried that for 2 weeks. I didn't lose no weight. I quit. Let it finish the work. See, here's the funny thing. When Nellie came to me with the vegan plant-based thing, I said, yeah, that's nice. I'm going to give that a try. And I tried it, and here, and I'd be a vegan for 2 days and a non-vegan for three, and then, you know, semi in the middle on the fourth, on the seventh day, and start the cycle all over again. But then I'm at a party. Ken comes in. I said, whoa, what happened to you? He said, plant-based, vegan. So my mind was like, okay, I tried that. I tried that. I messed with that a little bit. Yeah, it was no real commitment, but I tried it. I dipped and dabbed and flipped and flopped. I did a little bit of that. I felt good for a couple of days, but then I missed my fried fish and McDonald's fries and, you know. But I gave that a shot. But I had the sense in me, because of the way I'm trained by God, to understand process. So I asked him the question. What was the question? How long did it take? You better take in what I just said. I wanted to know how long did it take for vegan to finish a perfect work. You understand what I'm saying? I wanted to let it finish its work. I wanted to know, dude, you went from this to this, and I'm looking at it. How long did it take? He said, 5 months. So Thanksgiving's coming up. So I'm going to get that macaroni, cheese, and all that turkey and stuff in. But once that drops, I'm in for them 5 months. Because I had an understanding of what I was learning, the process of time, and how long it would be before I could be to the place that I could feel perfect and entire in that area that I was reaching for. And I committed to it, no turning back. I'm living the fruit of it to this day. But I chose to hear the counsel, and yes, there were trials. There were various trials and temptations. There was cakes and puddings and fried fish cookouts and all kind of stuff happening in Christmas dinners with all the various things all around, all on television. The commercials were there. It was everything feast. But I made a commitment to let that word, that revelation, have a finished work. You can't approach the things of God with, I tried that. What you should ask people is, how long did it take you to get from here to there? Tell me exactly what you did and what you didn't do. Tell me what you said and didn't say. Pick somebody to train you, because here's what your problem is. It don't have to be me, but here's what your problem is. You're committing to do things without any information or instruction or process in your mind of how long you're willing to stand to see it manifest. And the enemy knows you're an easy mark. Because you're not going to go to the 12th round. If you get knocked down in 3, you out the fight. You're not coming back out your corner. You're not going for another audition. I went to 2 of them and they already called me back, and they never called me. Now I'm not going. You cannot win with that attitude. Let's bring it home again. I know I went over the same verses. I plan to go further, but that's okay. Let perseverance finish its work. So let me ask you this question. And you online. How long are you willing to wait for the promise of God? See how it gets quiet? Because you don't even think about stuff like this. I prayed. I fasted. I got 10 people to pray. I've put it to the prayer chain. I sent it to the intercessors. Yeah. Whatever, punk. How long are you willing to wait for your patience to finish the work? How long are you going to let the trainer train you? And how much time are you willing to put in to see the results and the outcome? I've seen people go get the surgeries and they get all the weight off, and then you see them a year or so later and they're fatter than they were before the surgery. How long are you willing to commit to what you say you believe? It's not just health and finances, in every area of your life. How long are you willing to stand? Have you talked to God and said, God, this is what I'm believing for? Yes, child. How long does it take? How long do I need to stand? And he may say to me, 2 months. He may say to you, 2 years. Why? Because you got a lot more doo-doo that need to be cleaned out, where he has allowed me to clean out a lot of his with the other trainings. How long are you willing to stand? Are you willing to stand until it's done? Because if you are, you will see it, and a lot sooner than you think. How long are you willing to stand? See, because his grace comes on you when you make the commitment that I will stand even to death. How far are you willing to go with your trainer? Patient says, I'm doing a work. You know why you are not perfect? You know why you're not entire? You know why you lack things? Because you don't let patience finish. You don't let it finish. I don't have to preach that. You can sit right here and think of 15 things right now on the top of your head that you didn't let patience finish. I tried it. I tried that vegan thing. I tried it. Then you start getting the adversaries. Yeah, but where you gonna get your protein from? Well, I tried that. It didn't make me feel good. No. Listen, I got all of it. Well, it's hard shopping for that kind of. You know, that vegan food is expensive. So was all the junk food I eat. I eat less. It may cost a little more to buy, but I eat less of it because I'm full. There's always an excuse. I say it all the time. Those who decide not to do give you all the reasons they can. Those who decide to do it give you all the reasons they can. But I got all of that. I'm like, you know, I try to give. And here's one thing I find too. Let me just give this to you just to get off to this. But let me just give you this too. Don't debate with people that come, the adversaries that come against your faith. You there to knock that person out. You're not there to box with, to discuss it with them why you hold your hand like that. Amen. You're going to find out why I hold my hand like that in a minute. All the stuff you even try to explain when people came to me with the vegan stuff, I was like, yeah, well, gorillas and elephants and all the biggest, strongest animals in the world, they don't eat meat. Obviously, they don't need it. I guess the beef industry has sold me that lie on commercials. That's where you get your proteins from. Yeah, but you got to have your protein. I'm like, you know what? So I just explained to you, and you're still giving me pushback because you ain't trying to do what I want to do. You just want to debate with me if my faith is legitimate, has God really said. Don't sit there and try to get people to get in agreement with you in concert with what God told you to do. And you know he's told you to do. God will give you a train or people to encourage you. He'll give you cheerers. And all of those who want to compete with it, you don't need to stand there with them. That weakens your faith in your stand. And you start to question patience. You start to question your trainer. You start wondering if your trainer knows what he's talking about. And your trainer is sent from God. He knows what he's doing. I don't want to get into debates with you about it. See me in 5 months. Then we'll have the conversation again. And God worked it out perfect. There was no church. Y'all couldn't see me. And then the doors opened up and I walked in. You're like, what the heck? Half of you stayed home. Yes. But I committed to it. I'm not talking about diet. I'm talking about everything in your life. So when I said it's my time and it's my season and you agreed with me last year, I've moved and have not stopped moving. I'm running 5 different businesses, and I'm working. And yeah, I get physically tired, but energized. I'm like more organized than I've ever been because I've made the decision and God's grace has come on me to fulfill it and complete it. I made a decision that this is my time. Lord, how long does it take? It doesn't matter. However long it takes, let's get it done. Let patience finish its work. Let the trainer train the way it wills, so that you may be imperfect and you will be entire and you will lack nothing. I don't know about you, but for the rest of this life I'm living, I desire to lack nothing, to be perfect and to be entire. It's my right. It's a promise in this book. If it's here, that means God wants me to have it. And the only way I don't have it is I'm getting in the way of his process and I'm not letting patience have his perfect work. Well, I've chosen that that will never be the case in my life again. And as long as I got to stand against any trial, any test, or whatever I got to stand against, I'm willing to stand to win. God has given me the price, and I've decided that the price is fair, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And that price is that I will be perfect and entire and lack nothing. That's enough for me. I'll do whatever it takes. Amen. Amen. Amen.